Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today is October 23rd, 2014, and I'm so glad you joined us tonight at NoBetterWay.net. My name is Rudy Zablocki. I'm just a truck driver from Bartlett, Illinois, who loves the Lord and wants to serve Him. Tonight's show is titled, You Must Be Born Again. Today's reflection verses are the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. This is the text. When Jesus used the term being born again, this was not the first time this expression was used in the Jewish community. It was common use among the Jews when Jesus was born. When an adult heathen was converted to the Jewish religion, it was the custom to baptize and circumcise him. When he was baptized, he was said to be born again. This expression meant that he who had been a child of the devil was now adopted into the family of God, now considered one of God's children. In the case at hand, Jesus was using the expression in a stronger sense than the Jewish belief of born again. Nicodemus might have thought only heathens needed to be born again. Nicodemus may well have recognized Jesus' new meaning when he asked his new question. How can this be? Literally, a man cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born again. But all men may be born again from above. Each may be born of the Spirit, born of God, in a manner which bears a close analogy to the natural birth. Before a child is born into the world, he has eyes but cannot see. He has ears, but cannot hear. He has no knowledge of any of the things of the world. Only when a child is born into the world, he begins to see and hear the things of the world. He begins to understand the world around him. In the same way, in a spiritual birth, before he is born of God, in a spiritual sense, he has eyes that do not see. There's a veil upon them. He has ears that do not hear. He is deaf to what he needs most all to hear. When a man is born of God, there's a miraculous change to his spiritual senses. The eyes of his understanding are open. According to Paul the Apostle, God commands the light which shines out of darkness to shine upon the heart. The born-again person feels in his heart the mighty working of the Spirit of God. He feels a peace which surpasses all understanding. He feels a love of God in his heart, given to him so freely by the Holy Spirit. He's able to discern spiritual good and evil. He is increasing daily in the knowledge of God and understanding the inward kingdom of God. As a born-again Christian, we may say we are truly alive. Alive to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. What a blessed way to live. and I would say there's no better way. Okay, we're going to take a little break. I'm going to play a song called In Christ Alone. And after the song, I'll be taking phone calls. I'll give that number now and then again after the song. 347-989-0095. Be back in a little bit. Welcome back, folks. I'm going to give the number shouting out there. Please give a call in. I'd love to make friends. I'd love to hear a story, or you have some questions, or just want to just share something. Phone number is 347-989-0095. I'd call her. I have an 817 area code. Hello, welcome
Hello.
To the Better Way. Hello.
How's it going there, Dad?
Well, David, you know what? You are officially my co-host because you've been faithful for all the shows. So I'm going to have to...
I called in that much, huh? All right. I'll take it.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. You've been a blessing to all the shows. I'm thankful that you called in. How's things in Texas? How's things in Fort Worth, Texas?
Things Fort Worth are pretty good. Nice weather. Yeah, things are going pretty good. Our church got a van, so that'll be good. We'll be able to give people rides that need a ride to church, so that'll be kind of cool. Pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that's a great thing to have. There's always either the seniors or possibly the disabled, that the only thing keeping them from attending church is getting a ride. So that'll be a blessing. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of kids who their family doesn't go to church, so this would be an opportunity for them to get a ride to church as well, so that'd be good.
Sure. And maybe even talk to the parents and work on them. So tonight the title of the show is "You Must Be Born Again," and I read the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, how he said that that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God.
It's kind of a cool thing that God explains it to us, how, that it's not in our own power to be saved. I think sometimes people describe how to become a Christian as though they gotta say some magic words or something like that, or do some specific prayer type or whatever, but really it's God who changes our hearts so that we can believe in Him. And then we have to just confess our faith in Him, and then we receive the Holy Spirit, which is an awesome thing. So it's, God's really involved with the whole salvation process and changes us completely.
Yeah. I remember when I first started hearing that term, born again, probably on the news, and I just thought those were some special Christians, that were born again, they were the elite. And, when you read God's word, it's all of us. It's all of us born a new life in Christ. Amen.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. It empowers every believer to actually live the life that Christ calls us to, and empowers us to believe how we're supposed to believe. It empowers us to see the world how God wants us to, and it empowers us to live lives that glorify God and serve Him. And without being born again of the Spirit, we'd still be slaves to sin. So now with the help of the Holy Spirit, we have the capability to serve God with our lives, whereas before we were enslaved by sin and we had no way out without God's help.
Yeah, you used the term freed from sin. Galatians chapter 5, the first verse, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." That's telling us right there that when we're living a life, trapped into sin, we're slaves to sin, and now we're living a life of freedom in Christ.
Yeah, and then I think every person, because we're still humans and still born into sin, so that brokenness within us, within a broken world, we still have areas of struggle, and we're still going to have areas of sin that, like the thorn in the flesh, like Paul talked about. But the reality is, Christ has the power to break all these strongholds in our lives and help us to live a life fully devoted to Him. Most of the sinning that we do is because we're selfish or prideful, or because we want to do things our way instead of God's way. And I think that's probably a high percentage of our sin is just right. Selfishness and everything else.
Yeah, what's the one bumper sticker where it'll say, it says, "Be patient with me, God's still working on me." I'm a work in progress, just like He's the potter and we're the clay, and He's molding us to be like Christ.
Yeah, and the Holy Spirit is right there in us, making everything possible. So it's a pretty awesome blessing.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was going to say there's another verse that I saw that I really like was 1 Peter 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you.
Mm.
That was pretty cool. Just born again. God the Father gives us the gift of being born again, and thanks to Christ dying on the cross for our sins and rising again and offering us an eternal hope in Jesus. Pretty cool stuff when you think about it.
Yeah, and I think when we don't resist the Spirit and we have that Holy, you know, that Holy Spirit really working through us, you know, every day, and we have our bad times, our times when we sin, but that's when we could really feel the joy of the Lord, and people could see it in us. You know, it's evident. You know, they could see that Spirit working and that joy. And you know, sometimes I struggle, like, boy, how does a Christian always be joyful? You know, but it's through the good times and the bad times. And I have to admit, I do struggle with that.
Yeah. Just, I think so much of the time we get our mind off of Jesus, and obviously there's gonna be times for rejoicing and times for mourning, but we could always have joy in the fact that God is always with us.
Yeah. He's with us, and we have that hope, right? We have that promise, that eternal life, you know, that wonderful gift of eternal life is, you know, is always in our hearts, and we always have that hope, and someone doesn't know Christ, I mean, when they're going through a hard time, what hope do they have? Things of this world, you know, things that they're clinging to, their financial, you know, or their treasures in this world. So to me, that there's no greater treasure than that faith and salvation in Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, remember when I wasn't living for the Lord, it's like, you know, you have these areas of struggle in your life and you're just almost kind of hopeless. You don't see any changes happen. You don't see the changes, and you don't really have much hope in it happening. So there's a lot of hopelessness a lot of times outside of Christ that things could get better. But once you give your life to Christ, you see the power of God at work in you. And it's not like the snap or the finger. You accept Jesus as your Savior, and the next day you're like a perfect person or something like that. But you see that God has, you'll see over the course of time that God has the power to change you, change your heart, to change your life, to change your circumstances, everything. And God is very powerful. And to accept Christ as Savior is the blessing of eternal life, but it's also the blessing of a transformed life while you're on earth.
Yeah, I found a book, Wayne. I think Judy was reading this a little bit, and it's called Walking the Dead by John Eldridge. I just want to read a little paragraph from here, Dave. It says, "Life in all its fullness." And when we're born again, I believe we open that door to eternal life. And he describes it. He goes, "We tend to think of it in terms of existence that never comes to an end. And existence, it seems to imply a sort of religious experience in the sky, leaves us wondering if we would want it to go on forever. But Jesus is quite clear that when he speaks of eternal life, what he means is life that is absolutely wonderful and can never be diminished or stolen from you. He says, 'I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.'" It's John 10:10. "Not, 'I have come to threaten you into line,' or 'I have come to exhaust you with a long list of demands.' Not even, 'I have come primarily to forgive you,' but simply, 'My purpose is to bring you life in all its fullness.'" I think that's a wonderful description of what, when we walk with Christ, you know, we have that Holy Spirit, and how that life is to the fullest, not full of bags of money or a Mercedes in a driveway or a 6,000 square foot house, and you know, but that means a full life with Christ, that he's there by our side in the good times and the bad, And to that I say amen.
Yeah, like Peter describes the gift that God gives us, being born again, eternal life in Jesus is imperishable, not to be, never ever to be thrown away or destroyed. So it's an eternal promise. It's an awesome promise, and it begins the day you accept Christ as your Savior, and it's the best decision you could ever make, is to give Christ your life, and you find how good He is, how awesome He is, and how much He loves you, and desires what's best for you. It's just like God through Jesus basically is bringing us back to His intention. So, you know, the Garden of Eden, where God and wants us to be in relationship with Him, to serve Him, to worship Him, to walk with Him, and sin got in the way, and through Jesus, God brings us back to that perfect paradise in heaven for eternity.
Yeah. Yep, He restores us, David. And it's a process. We're all sinners. With Romans 3:23, we all have fallen short of the glory of God, and we'll continue to sin to the moment we die. But God is working on us, transforming us, walking with us, and it's just to me I can't imagine now living life without faith in Christ. He's gotten me through some really difficult times, and I think, what does it say? There's an expression where it says, if it doesn't kill you, it'll make you stronger. And I know that's a worldly type term, but I think as Christians, when we go through the fire, we'll come out so much more stronger. Our faith will be increased. Our love for Christ, we'll love Him more. We'll want to serve Him more. It's just I'm just amazed how God works in our lives, and I'm just praising Him for how He's been a blessing to me.
Yeah, for sure. And there's gonna be hard times in life, and then trials. And like you said, God disciplines His children. God refines us. Through hard times a lot of times. But He also knows our limits. He's not going to put us into a situation that's beyond our ability to avoid sinning and things like that, So it's like there's always going to be a way out of the word in temptation and things like that. Or if He's disciplining us, it's for our own goods. And one day we'll see that.
Yeah, well, I was thinking of the verse in Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So whatever, we're going through, we look to Him, we pray, and seek the power of the Holy Spirit and His wisdom to get us through.
Yeah, and the whole idea of being born again in heaven, the Holy Spirit right inside of us, that's definitely going to empower us to live that life.
And there was a time in how I was talking earlier in the show, how just like a child before it's born, it has eyes but cannot see, it has ears and cannot hear, and that's just like how a person is before He comes to Christ. He's born again. His eyes are open and His ears are open, and His heart is open. And so as believers, we need to be patient and loving to those that are at this time maybe resisting, God's word, resisting the truth. When we reach out to them, and just be patient with them and continue always to pray for them.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, if people are in sin, then they need God to they need God's help to open their eyes to see that Jesus is the Savior. So it's weird for people to get mad at people that, you know, won't accept Christ the first time they mention him to them. It's good to desire that and to love them and pray that that happen, but to get frustrated and annoyed with them is definitely not the right approach. It's more a matter of praying that they'll see and living a life where you exemplify Christ's love and truth and mercy and just sharing the gospel whenever you get the chance. In both word and deed, share the gospel, explain who Christ is and why it's important for them to believe, and then live a life that matches what you're saying, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's people watching. I mean, as we live our lives, we're not only in our words, but the way we live, we're being a witness for Christ. So if we're having a bad day, you know, we pray that we weren't a bad witness to someone.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
So what's everything going well in the Chicagoland area these days? How's the weather?
Weather is good. It's you know, it's been cool at night. It's been in the I actually had frost on my windshield this morning, car in the driveway, and so it was in the 30s in the morning, and
really?
Got up to, yeah, but it got up close to 60, so I'm sure you wouldn't mind that kind of weather. How about down there in Fort Worth, kind of weather you having?
It's still pretty sizzly over here. Let me see. Let's see what it is right now. It's 72 right now at night. Probably be the upper 80s tomorrow. So still pretty warm for October, huh?
Yeah, that's great. Well, I remember last February I went down and it was in the low 80s. I remember us going to the zoo. Yeah, this was mid-February. And then when I returned to Chicago, landed at O'Hare Airport, it was, I think they announced it was like 22 degrees. And I said to myself, welcome back to Chicago.
Yeah. Johnny, 60 degrees difference, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. That's Texas, you know. But,
spicy and warm.
So how's my little granddaughter Nora doing?
Doing well. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. So I think we hear her maybe whispering words, but we're not 100% sure. We think she might have said kitty cat, so we're not sure. We're listening close.
Well, then she'll be just like. Go ahead.
She'll be like what?
I was gonna say she'll be just like her mom, Missy. She'll be just like her mom. She loves cats. She'll be first words out of her mouth is kitty cat. Yeah.
That'd be fun. So what are your favorite words about being born again? I mean, your favorite verses on that? John 3:16. I mean, John 3, obviously.
Yeah, I do like John 3 because here was Nicodemus, who was one of the Jewish elite. He was well versed in God's word. He was a leader. You know, I'm pretty sure he was a Pharisee, wasn't he, Dave?
Yeah.
But he was
one of the leaders for sure, yeah.
And I often wondered, because he was so interested in Christ, you know, where he had to sneak at night because the leaders did not care for Jesus because he was really rocking the boat. He was rocking the system. So Nicodemus snuck at night to talk to Jesus. And I often wondered, did Nicodemus, after Jesus died and, you know, word got out that he resurrected, did Nicodemus come to Christ? You know, I always have those what if, you know, questions in my mind. But I guess we'll find out in heaven, huh?
Yeah. We weren't there to really know the full extent of where his heart went and everything. But it sure seemed like seemed from some of the scriptures that he was really took to believe in what Jesus was saying. But, you know, some people think otherwise as well. So some people think that he was just like
trying to look smart by asking him all his questions, but I think most people think that he was seriously curious and knowing what Jesus had to say and was wondering. I think that's probably true, that he was really desiring to know the truth, but it was kind of boggling everyone's mind. So it seemed like he brought some people with him at night. Yeah, that was probably more along the lines of he knew he was going to be in trouble with some people for talking to him, so he just was being casual, trying to be do it at night.
Yeah.
But you know, you got to give someone credit for recognizing that something might be going on there with Jesus while everyone else wanted to just pretend like there was no chance that he was the Messiah. He was open-minded enough to try to find out more information, you know, and God desires for us to seek the truth and to seek after him with all of our hearts. And he was seeking after the truth, it seems like, to me, from asking questions, you know.
Sure. Well, one day maybe when we get to heaven, I'm not going to say maybe, we'll walk and there we'll say, "Hey, Dave, look it, there's Nicodemus." He came to faith after the resurrection. That would be cool. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So it's if you're thinking, you know, in your natural way, you just can't understand the ways of the Spirit.
Yeah, I think about that. You know, it's like I think over the longer you're living for Jesus and living according, it becomes more and more obvious what the Bible is talking about when you're living in the flesh versus living in the Spirit. It's, you know, because living in the flesh is just kind of like a reactionary thing. You know, I think the human instincts a lot of times are sinful instincts. If you just like react, you know, you're in traffic and someone cuts you off and you just say the first thing that comes to mind is probably going to be of the flesh, you know, or someone does something to hurt your feelings or to bother you, and the first thoughts or the first actions a lot of times are of the flesh. And living according to the Spirit is the, you know, trust God to use you as his vessel in life and to not do things of the flesh anymore, but to do things according to the Spirit and according to God's way, you know, love your enemy and just peace and patience and joy and perseverance and all these good things as opposed to anger and self-righteousness and pride and all these things that just pop up naturally. So I think when you're born again, you have the capability to living according to the Spirit that we didn't really have before. But we also have the tendency to slip back into living according to the flesh. But obviously God desires us to not do that anymore.
Since we're talking about the sins of the, you know, of the flesh, and then we're also talking about trying to live according to the Spirit, can I read Galatians 5 about living life by the Spirit? Would that be okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Amen.
Yeah. I mean, it's like people say, like, if you're living according to the flesh, you know, and it's a full-time deal, it's just like what you do. It's a good chance that you probably didn't give your life to Christ. If that's all you're doing is living according to the flesh, you should see evidence in your life of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's not, you're not going to do it perfectly, but God, if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, he's going to be transforming you. So always be looking for the evidence of transformation and not accepting sins of the flesh, but rather praying for forgiveness for those and repenting of those.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Dave, but a lot of times the Holy Spirit will convict me. I start going off on a tangent, and maybe I'm struggling with anger, you know, where it's just stewing in me and I have to, you know, process it, or maybe jealousy or whatever that sin may be, maybe using a profane word once in a while. So whatever that sin you struggle with, you know, that Holy Spirit is good to me in convicting me, and I'm thankful for that. Kind of gives me a little tap, like, you know, get back in line.
Yeah, that's a good thing, you know, because the Holy Spirit, you know, will guide us and direct us, you know. Yeah, it's scary for people that ignore God so long, you know, that they get used to ignoring God, you know. That's a dangerous place to be. But when you hear God convicting you, it's hard to be humble. It's easy to be prideful, but it's better in those moments to be humble, because God deserves it and God desires it. So,
yeah. And what is if you love me, Jesus said, you'll obey my commands. So if we love him, we'll.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna keep you on. I've got another call, Dave, and you might recognize this caller. Okay. So I'm gonna take this call. So just hang on there.
All right.
Hello, welcome to NoBetterWay.net.
Hey, what's going on, Rudy Pooh?
Oh my!
This is the scooter. Hi. The scooter man.
Scott. Hi, Scott.
Navi, what's going on, man?
Okay,
you know
I have
what?
My.
I'm doing okay over here. How you doing over there?
Doing good over here. We're in the northwest suburbs of Chicago.
I'm over here in spicy Texas.
Yeah. Right now it's about 48 degrees and feeling pretty chilly.
Well, welcome to the show, Scott. Thanks for calling.
No problem there, Rudy. Good show. You're talking about being born again, and pretty guys talking about my second favorite character, my second favorite man in the Bible. And that would be John the Baptist. John the Baptist.
Good old John the Baptist, huh?
Good old John the Baptist. Yeah, he was. He was looking all rough up in the desert there, and baptizing all those people and the. In the river, one of my favorite stories there was when Jesus was baptized by him, and I thought that was pretty cool. And one of my favorite verses too was Matthew 3, where Jesus arrives from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John, and he wanted to be baptized by John, and John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me." Like, he was probably like in a little bit of shock there. Jesus was like, yeah. He said, permit at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So pretty much he told John, what you're doing is good. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it was cool for sure. And John the Baptist is pretty cool that Jesus offered him such a compliment, like no one greater born of the flesh than you. And that's comparing him to people like Prophet Isaiah and to Moses and to Abraham, and says
no
greater man than John the Baptist. So this is a man who had a love for God and had just a heart for obeying God and just giving him his whole life, and just pretty awesome dude.
Yeah. What better compliment coming from Jesus? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey Scott, you know when John the Baptist was pregnant in Elizabeth, and Jesus was pregnant, Mary was pregnant with Jesus, and when Mary entered the room, John the Baptist actually did a somersault inside of Elizabeth's womb. He was so excited as a little yet to be baby. So that's how
right.
much John the Baptist loved Jesus.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as a little, an unborn baby, like already demonstrating the Holy Spirit, I mean, doesn't get more better than that.
I guess we could say that John the Baptist was truly born again.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, you know, he was, you know, taken as a prisoner, beheaded, and that obviously made Jesus really, really upset. So, it goes to show that Christians all over the world are kind of being persecuted and arrested just for their belief in God and in Jesus, and it goes to show that, you know, you just got to persevere through hard times.
Yeah, it's a testimony to your faith, is it? It's easy to say you believe, but once you start to get when someone starts to threaten you or even tease you or bully you or whatever the case may be, so will you still stand up then? That's a good test of your true believer in your faith.
Oh yeah. You got to stick to your guns for sure.
So what about you?
No doubt about it.
You really like that the passage about when Nicodemus tells Jesus. When Jesus tells Nicodemus, you got to be born again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's definitely important because when you're born into this world, you're kind of innocent. You know, God loves his children. But then when you kind of grow up, you know, you become accustomed to – I was listening to you guys. You guys were talking about kind of living in your own world, ignoring God, and doing your own thing. So I think it's definitely important to be born again and recommit yourself to the Lord, to God. And I think that's definitely important. If you're a true Christian, that's, to me, that's 100% necessary.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
Jesus said you must be born again. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I was kind of listening to your Nicodemus kind of thought process, like whatever happened to like his heart, and did he ever commit himself to being a Christian? I always wondered about that too. And I think so. Just reading through everything and kind of seeing where his curiosity took him, and actually having those little sit down meetings with Jesus, it goes to show that, you know, it was more than just being sneaky and questioning Jesus. I really think he truly believed, but because of who he was affiliated with all the Pharisees, I just thought maybe he was a little scared to kind of come out with it.
Well, I know that anybody that followed Jesus was kicked out of the temple. They no longer could belong. So that threat was always there for any of the temple, you know, the people that belonged to the Jewish temple. And that was a big status symbol for the Jewish culture. So if you would follow Jesus, then you were gone. They'd just boot you out. So.
Oh, yeah. When he rolled into town, everyone and all the kids and everyone was excited for him. You know, I'm sure it made everyone, you know, probably made all the high priests all jealous and like, who is this guy, you know? So
yeah,
if they saw any sort of excitement from him, they were in trouble, essentially.
Yeah. Well, Jesus hung out with the tax collectors, the prostitutes, all the sinners of the day, and that did not go over well with the Jewish leaders. They wanted him to be hanging out with the elite. Then he would have been, there would have been more approval there. So
right.
If he didn't hang out, with sinners, he'd have no one to hang out with, because everyone's a sinner.
Pretty much, yeah. That's a very good statement right there.
We're born with a sin disease, and there's those who are sinners. The parables that Jesus gives about the people that people point at and say, "Look at that sinner. I'm glad I'm not like him." But that guy's actually repenting of his sin and wishing he was lived a better life versus the Pharisee and religious leader who's like pointing at other people and saying how great he is. Just because they thought that they had it all together, man, they were in a worse. If you hear about Jesus, how he talks to the Pharisees, they weren't in a good shape. They weren't in a good relationship with God.
He called them whitewashed tombs, right? They were, beautiful on the outside. On the inside, they were dead. They were like tombs. Yeah.
Right. He says, please, do what they preach. And then what did he say? He said,
Yeah, good point. He said, do as they say, not as they do, basically, right?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's what I was looking at. Yeah, exactly. That goes to show that, he knew they were chachas. Listen, these guys are chachas. Do what they say, but don't do as they do, because they're not living according to God's word. So.
I wanted to say that Jesus did not hold back, and that's one of the cool things about Jesus, where he said for those that were disciples of the Jewish followers, he said they made him twice the son of hell that they were, and I'm saying, oh my God, he had to infuriate the Jewish Pharisees and leaders. I mean, he did not hold back, and so all these things were building up. And even though Jesus was all truth, they all said this guy's got to go. And then he went to the cross and died for our sins. It was all part of God's plan. Yeah.
Well, it goes to show that their pride got in the way of the truth. I think that happens a lot with a lot of people as well. The pride gets in the way of a lot of things, and because of that, they kind of live in their own sinful little world. And I think that's why they need to get on their knees, start praying, and become a little more humble with themselves.
Yeah, and then God pray that, just keep praying that God opens their hearts and minds to the truth. And once they receive the Holy Spirit, they'll be able to begin to see the transformed life that God can do through them. So being born again is essential, because only God can save us. So once we have God, then we have eternal life.
Absolutely. Doesn't get more better than that. No. Eternal life.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Jesus in our hearts and eternity awaiting us. We'll be reunited. I'll get to see my dear wife, Judy, and you'll get to see, your grandfathers and all the friends that have gone before us. What a wonderful promise to all of us. Amen.
Yeah.
For amen to that.
For all that are in Christ. So that's why, listeners out there, to have eternal life with Jesus, you have to believe. It's not everyone gets to go to heaven. So that's why that's so urgent to believe in Jesus today.
When I first started seeking, guys, my first prayer was, because I was reading the Bible and it just wasn't penetrating. I wasn't understanding it. And I started saying, because I was listening to Christian radio and it says you need to be, born again. You need to be saved, accept Jesus as your Savior. And I just started praying the simple prayer. I said, Lord, if you're real, show me. And then all of a sudden, all these people started popping up in my life, all these Christians that had this wonderful love of God in their hearts, and then and and all this, you know, and then he opened my heart, and then all of a sudden the God's word started to, you know, make sense to me. And so
yeah.
To me, I anybody that comes to Christ, it's the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle. Amen.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember when Dave was starting to really get into the Bible and Jesus too. And he was like, oh, you should read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. And then some of the stuff I was reading, I was like, I don't even know what this means. Like, what's going on here? But not that I didn't, like, understand, but you're absolutely right. It's definitely the Holy Spirit. And, like, once you get it, you'll completely understand it, and it'll transform your life for sure. But it's, yeah, there's a lot to take in at first. Don't get me wrong, but once you do get it, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's cool that God helps us to get it, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, cool, guys. Well, I know you got to close out your show, so I'm going to let you go, but it was good talking to you, fellas.
Yep.
All right, good. David.
Thank you, Dave,
well,
for calling.
See you later. Bye.
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 Well, I guess that's what you call a good, long goodbye.
All right, Rudy Pooh, well, I just wanted to chime in and say good job on the show.
Thank you.
May God bless you always, and have an awesome week, and don't forget to have a pierogi or two.
Okay. You're telling everybody that I'm Polish, is that it?
those of you listening, my dad, his last name is Zablocki. So that means he is 100% Polish, and he likes his pierogi.
Yeah, they are good. Well, Scott, I thank you for calling in, and don't be shy in the future. And praise God, we're born again, and we're in Christ, and our lives are for Him, not for us, to be for His glory. Amen.
Absolutely. Amen. Glory be to God. And you have an awesome week, and God bless you.
Okay. Good night, Scott.
Good night, buddy. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, folks, it's getting close to the end of the hour, and I would like to close in prayer, and then after that we'll have the closing song. And I just would ask everyone to bow their heads at this time. Dear Lord, thank you for this time together. I'm so thankful for your plan. Jesus, you said we must be born again, and it's of the Spirit. And Lord, I pray for that Spirit, for all those searching out there, that Spirit would fall upon all the seekers' hearts, and that you would bless them, open their eyes to the Word, open their eyes to your truth, open your eyes to your love, and give them the hope that surpasses all human understanding. And Lord, I have Casey on my heart tonight. Casey is a dear friend. She called in last week. She's my daughter-in-law's stepmom, and she's having neck surgery. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be with her. I'm looking at a portrait right here by my desk, and it's a portrait of a wounded lamb, and Jesus has got his arms wrapped around this lamb, and that is you, Casey. You're that lamb, and Jesus has you in his arms, and he's going to care for you. He's going to watch over you, and I pray that you would go through a healing process, and that all would go well, and that your husband Wes would have the strength to care for you and others in your life. And we're all praying for you, Casey, and I shout out to all the people out there to pray for Casey as she goes through this surgery and time of healing. And now I say, in Jesus' name, we pray, and good night, and God bless.
God, when I in awe
Joy shall fill.